Hatchet, Chapter 20. Abby and I fought over who got to carry Scooter's suitcase up to his room. I won. As usual, when he came to his picture in the hallway gallery, he had to stop and say, "Now there is a handsome young man. I wonder who that is." The painting shows this sailor with his white hat cocked down to one eyebrow and his mouth open like he's saying something. If it wasn't hanging in our hallway, I never would have guessed it was my grandfather. The sailor is so young. My mother told us it was the first portrait she ever did. She was still in high school. He knocked on the wall. "Nice bulkhead, too." We groaned, which was what he wanted. It's Navy talk. A bulkhead is a wall. A door is a hatch. The kitchen is the galley. The dining room is the mess. A stairway is a ladder. We dragged him away from the bulkhead to his room. It was the guest room, actually. But when we turned on the light and walked in, I had the warmest feeling knowing he'd be there for good. I put his suitcase on the bed. "Guess this isn't a guest room anymore," I said. The three of us looked at each other and broke into giggles. Scooter started unpacking, and Abby said, "Aren't you going to miss the ocean?" Since he retired, Scooter has been living in a rooming house in Cape May, New Jersey. He said he wanted to be able to see the ocean every day. He took out a stack of boxer shorts with red and blue anchors on them. "Sure," he said. "When I start feeling that way, I'll just fill up the bathtub." Before he could stop her, Abby snatched the top pair of shorts and pulled them on over her jeans. She checked herself in the mirror. "Oh, Scooter, can I have these, please? Just one pair?" Scooter looked at me like he had just seen an oyster from outer space. I shrugged. "Fifth grade girls." Abby crouched, pleading in front of him. "Pretty please with sugar?" Scooter just blinked. He still wasn't connecting. "See what your mother says." Abby squealed and gave us a fashion show. I asked Scooter, "What about your sea chest?" "The sea chest is a trunk filled with the stuff he picked up from all over the world. A wooden mask from Africa, a silk robe from Japan. He would rummage through the chest whenever we visited him in Cape May." He held up a key. "I put it in storage." "Aren't you bringing it with you?" I asked him. He took out our school pictures, the big ones with frames. "This is the important stuff." He put them on the dresser. Later, the three of us were sitting in Scooter's bed. This is something that goes way back to when Abby and I were little. We would climb into his bed in our pajamas. It would be dark outside. The only light would be from the hallway, and Scooter would tell us stories. Not cuddle your teddy bear stories, but screamer stories, tremble stories, sink your teeth into your teddy bear stories. My parents know what's going on, so they don't call the police when they hear their kids screaming bloody murder. And I mean to tell you, when he says he's in the jungle on a moonless night, or in the back alleys of old Hong Kong, or in a salt swamp infested with sea crocs, well, you are there with him. And when he tells you to check the vine you feel on your leg, and you look and see it's not a vine at all, but a 30-foot anaconda already coiled three times around your leg, well, you gulp and you shriek and you might even grab onto your little sister for dear life. When we're good and quaking under the cover, Scooter will finish up with some lighter stuff. It's like dessert. Sometimes he'll tell us about the foot hunters of Borneo. Instead of headhunters, get it? How they go around lopping off people's feet and shrink them and wear them around their necks. And he always tells us about his pet Ollie, the one-armed octopus. He found Ollie one day while skin diving off the coast of Greece. At first he thought he was looking at some kind of pregnant sea snake or a constipated eel. Then he realized he had the head end backwards. It was an octopus with seven of its legs chewed off in a fight with something Scooter hoped he would never meet up with himself. The octopus was flopped and all forlorn on the bottom sand, trying to pry open a scallop. Its head was the size of a softball and its one tentacle was less than 2 feet long. Scooter took it back to the ship, named it Ollie, and for years took it almost everywhere he went in a bucket of seawater. This time, Scooter told us about the day they worked in a carnival sideshow with Ollie as the world's biggest sea worm. When Scooter finished, we just sat there, soaking up the good times. Abby piped, "We can do this every night now, forever." Scooter pretended to swoon. "Scooter," she said, then hesitated. She was thinking hard. "Scooter?" He leaned back against the headboard with a contented smile. "Hmm?" She hesitated some more. I knew what was happening. We both grew up thinking Scooter's bed was the safest place in the world, like a boat in a sea full of crocs. In fact, we used to call it our bed boat. It was a place where you could say things out loud that you might only think anywhere else. I remember once when I was little, I had a big confession to make about something I had done. I waited for weeks till Scooter showed up. I grabbed him in the driveway, dragged him up to the bed, whipped my pajamas on. I couldn't wait till dark and confessed. Whatever Abby wanted to say, we were probably the first people to hear it.